Doing well, my friend. Yeah, excited. I was over there last night for our annual Big 12 broadcasters dinner, and we'll check into the hotel here when I hang up with you and get ready to get down to work here. But hopefully it's a full weekend of games for us, but wouldn't surprise me to see anything with a field this good. I think, obviously, the expectation for Kansas is to at least make it to Friday. But at that point, I mean, you're talking about nothing but top 20 teams still projected to be alive. So this could be as exciting and as even of a field and as just highly competitive as we've ever seen a Big 12 tournament. And I know you've heard that before, but this year truly is at an all-time high.
Don't want to spend a lot of time on the last game because KU had already wrapped up the Big 12 outright title but did not play that well against Texas on the road. Do you think it was just a matter of they needed to just kind of catch their breath? I mean, to win this conference, the toughest conference in America by far, to win it outright and to work so hard to win some of those grinders that you and I have talked about week in and week out, do you think they just maybe kind of, I don't want to say hit a wall, but it was kind of like, you know what, we can exhale a little bit and they'll regroup for the Big 12 tournament?
You know, they'd never officially say that out loud.
Sure.
But you can't underestimate the psychological effect deep down in the back of your mind that you've already clinched. And even though you're told, hey, the number one overall seed is a really big deal and this would be a huge win toward that end, you can't help but think to some degree the pedal got taken off the metal, just psychologically, very subtly. And in a league this good, any type of step back or let down is going to lead to a big, big difference, and especially when you're playing on the road against a really good Texas team that's a projected 2 seed nationally and was having a senior night for 5 seniors. So, yeah, I think Kansas probably lost a little bit of their edge, and it was just enough. Obviously, from a minutes play standpoint, they played to win this thing. It didn't really let off the gas at all. I thought if there was any moment where Self was kind of waving a white flag, it's when he put Zach Clements in and allowed him to play through 3 bad possessions in a row. To me, that was a, well, we've already clinched. This guy hasn't played in 3 weeks. Let's just see what he's got. His parents are here. Let's see if he can find a little bit of rhythm before we go to the Big 12 so we're not just throwing him into the deep end of the pool in postseason play. But Zach, who hadn't played since the knee injury in Ames, and that includes all 7 wins on the win streak, you know, comes in, immediately turns it over, chucks up a 3 that misses badly, then turns it over again, and that was that. But that was early in the game when Ernest Uday or someone else could have come in, and that was really the only sign I saw of, well, we're going to play it a little bit differently here. And I think Self just felt like, well, if he sparks us to a comeback, great, but more than anything, we're going to kind of take the rust off. Otherwise, I thought he played straight up with the way he normally played, minute dispersion and that kind of thing. So, it's unfortunate it went the way it did. It's unfortunate we haven't won there in 3 years now, but no big deal in the grand scheme of things because you left that day in the minds of Seth Davis, Joe Lenardi, Nick Vitale, and several others still as the overall national 1 seed, even with the loss. So obviously you got to back it up with a little more now in Kansas City than had you won. But it's still a pretty good perch to be on in the minds of a lot of national media.
Absolutely. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you, as always, every week by Anderson Insurance Agency. To do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance, stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Midland Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701. Of course, when you win the conference, you're going to get lots of accolades. The Big 12 Player of the Year unanimously was Jalen Wilson. DeJuan Harris, Defensive Player of the Year. Most Improved Player was K.J. Adams. Kevin McCullough, DeJuan Harris were noted on other teams there. Great Dick, newcomer team, and also freshman team, and so forth and so on. That's always nice to get those accolades, certainly. And we were talking yesterday a little bit about this. Brian, I like your quick take on this. Is that when we talk about different levels of sports, whether it's pro or college, or even if you want to go to high school with all league, is that you've got the most valuable player award, which says valuable in it. There's the player of the year. There's the Heisman Trophy, which some people punish players that are on teams that have 3 or 4 losses when it's supposed to be the best player in America. So why does it matter how many losses you have? In the most valuable player, you know, the Chiefs won 12 games before Mahomes was the starting quarterback with Alex Smith at quarterback and won a division. I'm not saying Mahomes not the most valuable player, but the question is, you know, who is the most valuable? And we were talking about this yesterday, Brian, that Jalen Wilson is the player of the year. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that per se. Marquise Noel certainly maybe should have had a vote or two, perhaps, according to K-State fans, whether that doesn't really matter. I mean, Jalen Wilson was still going to win it. But at the end of the day, he's the player of the year. I don't think there's a lot of debate about that per se. But the most valuable player, if you called it the most valuable player, you could easily give that award that Wilson's not even the most valuable player on the team. That's DeJuan Harris.
I actually agree, and it's so funny because I'm going to take you back to Austin, Texas on Saturday. And, you know, there was another guy you could have voted for, and that was Marquise Noel with Kansas State. Not that any of us thought he should win it. It's just there was competition. And after the broadcast was over, it was me, Greg Gurley, and Keith Langford talking off the air, off the record, just three guys having a chat. And we're all in agreement that Jalen should get it. But, you know, we mentioned that there might be a threat in there. And then Keith steps up out of nowhere and says, well, you know, I might not think he gets it because when Kansas made its push be not just the best team in the conference but the best team in the country, Jalen actually was struggling, and it was DeJuan Harris that helped carry KU in that seven-game win streak. And I was thinking to myself, spot on.
Yeah.
I mean, really, DeJuan was the MVP in the win streak, and that's, you know, seven of the 18 games in the league. Jalen was so good early and had a historically good five-game stretch in terms of scoring the ball that, in the minds of a lot, he had it sewed up individually so long as the team collectively finished on the number one, you know, spot in the league standings. And so I think in a lot of voters' minds it was already sewn up. But if you look at when this team came together and what the most key contributor was on both ends of the floor, because, again, here's a guy who winds up winning Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year on top of what he brings offensively. And during that win streak had the astounding assist-to-turnover ratio and was hitting threes at 43% now on the season for DeJuan. I agree with you. I mean, I think the best way to put it is Jalen is most outstanding,
yep,
and DeJuan is most valuable. And then, to be honest, Kevin McCullough isn't too far behind him.
Agreed.
And it was great to see some individual accolades thrown his way by The Athletic this week. They had their All-American, All-Glue Guy team, and it was just five guys from all conferences put together. You know, the whole nation boiled down to five guys. And the captain of those five guys on the all-glue guy team essentially saying the most important glue guy in the whole nation is Kevin McCullough. And I was so happy to see that.
Yeah, I've been preaching that for a long time. I know you and I've talked about it. I mean, we both agree with that wholeheartedly, no doubt. All right, the Big 12 tournament gets underway tonight. West Virginia, Texas Tech at 6 o'clock. The winner of that plays KU tomorrow at 2. Pregame at 1:30 on Z96.3 Lake. The other game tonight, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. Baylor, Iowa State, the 11:30 game tomorrow. Then KU will play, as I mentioned. Texas will play the Oklahoma State, Oklahoma winner tomorrow at 6. And then K-State, TCU will be a tremendous nightcap. A battle there. They split their first two meetings. That's the 3 versus the 6, 8:30 tomorrow night. You know, you look at this tournament, you talk about how tough it is. There's no guarantee that Kansas wins the first game they play in because West Virginia almost beat them at Allen very recently. Texas Tech nearly beat KU at Allen recently. It was a dogfight. KU pulled one out of the fire down in Lubbock earlier this year. I mean, there are years where you sit here and say, well, KU might not win the Big 12 tournament, but we at least know they're going to make it to the semifinals. I don't think you can say that this year.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the only thing that makes me a little more bullish than I would have been a week ago is the fact that they looked so poor on Saturday, and I think that stuck in the crawl a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that they understand that if they lose twice in a row heading into Selection Sunday, especially with the way Saturday looked in Austin, that they probably do have to say goodbye to being in the Kansas City region, and that would go to Houston instead. So I think that we'll see a really dialed in and really motivated team. But to your point, the competition is so good that even if we are as dialed in as we're going to be, we could still lose. I mean, Eric Stevenson is playing really good ball right now for West Virginia. They finished the season with a flurry. And, you know, Texas Tech, it's a really tough one to put your finger on because everything that's going on with Mark Adams right now, and it's hard to say what we're going to see. Will it be an inspired effort under an interim coach? Will it be a distracted team that's ready to just pack it in and be done? I have no idea. I mean, Kevin O'Banner yesterday at the podium said that they're going to pull together and lean on each other and all that, said all the right things, but hard to say. But no doubt, I mean, they've got the talent to not only win tonight, but win tomorrow too, as we saw in both meetings that came down to the wire. So, yeah, it's not your typical Big 12, or at least it's not the Big 12 it used to be more than 5 years ago, where, you know, you were trotting somebody out there that was about ready to get slaughtered on Thursday, and the game started to get good on Friday. Now they're good from the jump, and you better look out. If you don't bring it, you could be going home very early.
I assume you have KU in the Big 12 Tournament Championship game final. Who do you think they will be playing if they get that far?
You know, I haven't really filled out a bracket, but obviously, you know, a third game with Texas would be what everybody's hoping for, because those are the two most talented teams in the league. They split, obviously, in the regular season. We're going to get a third game with Baylor if they avenge their Saturday loss at home to Iowa State, which was a real head-scratcher. And I'll be real with you, I didn't want to see Iowa State, or rather, I didn't want to see Baylor on the four line. And you know, that doesn't imply that I wanted to see Texas or K-State there, but I think Baylor has the firepower that could knock KU out on Friday. Obviously, we saw that happen in Waco. We saw them up 17 in the fog. You don't want to see them catch fire, and then you're trying to rally back from down double digits on the road or in the neutral venue, even though Kansas will have a great contingent there. So I think that you know, your most likely opponents are West Virginia, Baylor, and Texas, and I think that all three of those are capable. But this is a Kansas team that's a little bit more motivated than they would have been had they won in Austin and not lost so poorly. And a motivated Bill Self team, even against a really good tournament field, is one that I would always bank on. So I think Kansas has a great shot to play to Saturday. And if they do, here's my prediction of the week. If they get Saturday, meaning two more quad one wins are added on, then I think I agree with Vitale. Yep. I agree with Lenardi, Seth Davis. And here's the thing. I already agree with them. I think they're worthy of that. But if you lose and tack on a seventh loss, and Houston only has two, and that loss comes on Thursday or Friday, then I think a little bit of shine comes off the argument, and that's where I think it's super important that you at least get to Saturday. If you do that, I think Kansas is the one of ones, and I think the Big 12 Coach of the Year, Jerome Tang, is awesome, but Bill Self becomes the National Coach of the Year. Seth Davis has already cast his ballot as such, and I think you're going to start to see more and more of those awards roll in. But if KU's the one of ones after losing 75% of their scoring, to me, it's a slam dunk choice as his National Coach of the Year, Bill Self, which is just an unbelievable accomplishment. And you know, he said last year his players carried him as he was going through a really tough time losing his father and best friend. This year, I think in 20 seasons of Big 12 basketball, this was his best coaching job. If you look at the talent on this team, and we do have a lot of talent, but as Norm Roberts said on Hawk Talk the other night, something that makes Bill great is the way he gets these players to believe they're actually better than what they are. And I think we've got a lot of guys that are playing well above the ability level they would have on any other team because Bill gets every ounce of potential out of them. And so I think that's one of his best attributes. I think it's been on display the most this particular season. And I'm really excited to see some of those awards roll in because they are so deserving. And I know he doesn't care a ton about him, or at least he wouldn't admit that he does. But I think, you know, on the heels of a season where he was good, but his players carried him through tough times, this season, in his 20th year, he shined the brightest, and he is deserving of anything he gets these next couple of weeks during college basketball awards season.
All right, time for the off-the-wall question before we let you go. Brian Hand, the voice of Jayhawks, with us. It's our Facebook question today with our station on our local morning show, Waterside Wake Up. Your favorite TV character of all time. Your favorite TV character of all time. For me, you know, Kramer of Seinfeld, always enjoyed him. Norm from Cheers, that was one of the first shows I grew up watching. What about you? Favorite character of all time on television?
Wow, man, that is tough. I'm not going to give you one, but I'm going to give you a show where I thought that every character was so well done that my favorite changed often throughout. And there's a couple of shows that do this really well, like Arrested Development is the pick, where just every comedic actor is so funny that your favorite character could change. I think that Parks and Rec is equally good in the character caliber, just the portrayal of each character is so unique and hilarious. And The Office, I'd say if I had to pick one, it's probably Steve Carell's Michael Scott for The Office.
Yeah,
I've watched that series three times front to back. But yeah, I think when you find shows where your favorite character can change one episode to the next, that's when you know you're dealing with truly special talent. Much like this KU basketball team, will bring it full circle, where your favorite player in the starting lineup or your most valuable player could change one game to the next, whether it's DeJuan or Kevin or Jalen, whoever. That means you got a really great assembly of talents, and we certainly feel that, at least in our top five. I think this is the least deep team Self has ever had, with 2012 maybe having a say in that as well. But 2012 went all the way to the title game, and we're hoping for the same for these guys.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Brian, enjoy the Big 12 tournament. It's going to be a blast. Look forward to listening to you tomorrow with the quarterfinal matchup against either West Virginia or Texas Tech, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Take care. It's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you as always by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky at 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.